the phone call that lowered Pfizer drug prices. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Pfizer has reversed its big price increase, this after pressure from President Trump and the Health and Human Services Secretary. Pfizer had hiked prices for about 40 drugs the first of this month. This included Lipitor for cholesterol and Viagra for whatever that does. Pfizer says the pre-July prices will now hold until either Trump's general plan for lowering drug prices comes together or the end of this year. Dan Mendelsohn follows healthcare policy as founder of the consultancy Avalier Health. Good morning.
Good morning.
So jawboning works, what's long been called the bully pulpit of the presidency, an effective way to intervene in the market, I guess.
Look, Pfizer and every pharmaceutical company has a really strong interest in making sure that they have a positive and constructive relationship with the federal government. It's about trade. It's about what's happening at the FDA. And it's about this blueprint that is going to change the way that drugs are purchased in the United States. It's imminent.
And that blueprint is not set in stone, right? You can imagine a company like Pfizer would like to have a close enough relationship with somebody in the administration to get what it can out of that plan.
Absolutely. This is a conversation that's ongoing, and the federal government buys about half of the drugs in the United States, so the federal government is an important purchaser. And these prices are complicated. You know, just because a pharmaceutical company decides not to raise its list price does not mean that it can't effectively raise its price by reducing discounts.
Oh, I see. There's the list price, but who pays list?
Well, you know, the list price is used in the market for a lot of different purposes, but it is not ultimately the effective price that is paid by most of the buyers.
But what about as ongoing policy, the idea that if any pharma company wants to put in an increase, the president's going to yell at them? I mean, ultimately, you need some policy here.
I mean, there's policy and there's politics, and both are operating here simultaneously. The bully pulpit does work, and the fact is that every pharma company wants to stay at the table, and especially a market leader like Pfizer.
Dan Mendelsohn is founder of the consultancy Avalier Health. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Pfizer stock down 0.4% now. The following is like hunting for mushrooms. You have to know where to look. When corporate profit reports for the spring into summer quarter start cascading out in the coming days, look carefully in between the roots and moss, and there will be hints about what companies think the trade war will do for and do to profits. Susan Schmidt is expert at this kind of foraging. She's senior vice president and portfolio manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas, joining us here from the New York Bureau today.
This is the first time that we're going to see company management teams come out and really be able to talk about the potential impact of tariffs. This is now real and live and in front of them, and they have to be thinking about it.
And next week, it's a lot of the big banks that report how well they did, but also what they're looking for in the future. Even banks affected by trade, I guess.
Banks are especially affected by trade because banks represent businesses and banks are giving loans to businesses. So those banks are giving you an outlook, an insight into what the small business person, whether they're feeling confident enough to take out loans and expand, that's going to be evident in the pipeline of these larger banks. And so that's what you want to pay attention to.
By the way, the banks in general next week, is it going to be a flush period for them?
Banks in general next week are starting to report. Banks come early. In fact, this Friday, we're already going to be hearing from Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and JP Morgan. So earnings are here, commentary is coming, and that's going to cause a lot of market volatility in the next couple of weeks.
Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support. As part of his European travels, President Trump is due tomorrow in Britain. The U.S. is the single country from which the U.K. earns the most through trade, but the EU as a whole is bigger. Prime Minister Theresa May would like to strike a bilateral trade deal with the U.S. to cushion her move away from Europe. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, is following this from London. Good morning.
Morning, David.
So I'm not just looking at the world through trade-colored lenses. Trade will, in fact, be a key issue when Mr. Trump and Mrs. May go to business here?
Absolutely. You're right. With all that uncertainty around Brexit, especially after all the political ructions this week, she's really going to be hoping that the door is still open to some kind of bilateral US trade deal. There is a fundamental problem there, though, because the US and the EU, who she's still negotiating with, are sort of diametrically opposed when it comes to regulation. Now, President Trump wants even looser regulations. And of course, the EU has always been pretty tight on its rules. And just to give you an example of the kind of thing it could affect, here in Britain, the National Health Service has just celebrated 70 years. It's one of the world's biggest market for drugs. But if there was a US-UK trade deal, it would mean pitting private American pharmaceutical companies who are going to want more access to Britain against the targets, the priorities of a publicly owned health service.
And not to be churlish, but it seems the UK needs America as a trading partner, given its exit from the European Union.
It does. And so on Thursday, the government is going to release its official Brexit policy. The indications are that this white paper is just going to confirm that Theresa May is going to look for the UK to be in regulatory alignment with the European Union. That's what makes a trade deal with the US less likely, because you can't be in two opposing regulatory climates at one time. The US ambassador to Britain, Woody Johnson, said this week that because of this, he thinks a trade deal is, quote, up in the air. So it's really unclear how Mrs. May thinks she's going to have fingers in both the American and the EU pie simultaneously.
The BBC's Anu Anand hosts an early edition of the Marketplace Morning Report from London. It's in our common podcast feed if you can't hear it on the air. Anu, thank you.
A pleasure, David.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.